Now let us read together, please, in Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians and chapter 6. We'll commence our reading at verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked or the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, and so on. Now, that's our reading for this little time that we have together now at the close, toward the close of this session. Now, a number of things have been said in this session of ministry which really confirm to me the relevance of what I want to speak to you about right now. You know, when God saved me, I hope I was reasonably normal. Do you know something? I wondered, will this last? I really did. One of my big rugby playing friends said to me, when I announced to the boys I'd got saved, he said, "Robin, we will give you 2 weeks and you'll be back with us." But I didn't know much about the Bible and I didn't really know how to answer him, but I think God helped me to answer him. His first name was Lawrence. I said, "Lawrence, if what I have got is God's salvation, I won't be back. But if what I have got is not God's salvation, I'll be back with you in less than 2 weeks." Beloved saints, I want to say to you today, and we heard this earlier in the ministry, you do not have to fail in spiritual things. Now, sometimes we do. And as we heard earlier also, they mean if I do fall spiritually, strictly speaking, I cannot blame the flesh. And I cannot blame the world. Nor can I blame the devil. Oh, they're against us. I don't dispute any of that with you. But I want to show you from the Bible that God has made provision for us so that we don't need to fail. And it's a matter of us adopting and accepting and using the provision that God has made. We're not predisposed to failure. Now, it's very interesting. We'll acknowledge freely, because we've all experienced it personally, the Christian life is one of conflict. From the beginning to the end, it is one of conflict. The Lord said, "In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." We don't have to fail. And yet there's conflict all the way. You young believers know this. And the older ones have experienced in their life. It's very interesting when it comes to the armor of God. If you were to read in Romans 13 and 12, you read there, it's a very interesting one, about the armor of light. The armor of light. Now the context there seems to be the flesh. Interesting, isn't it? When you come to 2 Corinthians 6 and 7, you'll read about the armor of righteousness. And the context there seems to be the world. So the flesh, the world, and now we come to Ephesians 6, and we have the whole armor of God. And the context there is the devil. So God has made provision. Dear sister, I want to tell you, and we hope to show you from these verses, that God has made provision for you, now listen to this one please, to be able to cope with trial. And you're guaranteed trials in this life. Definitely guaranteed trials. But God has made provision to enable us to cope with those very trials. Now let's take a look at our passage please. It's very interesting, and I'll have to be careful here vis-a-vis the time, but I want you to notice something, please. Write down to verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, now notice how this whole section begins. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have three important words here. We have strength, we have power, and we have might. Now that's important. Do you know why? Before we're introduced to the array of powers which are against us, we're introduced to the power that is for us. We're introduced to it first. That's very important. You see, to put it another way, we've been hearing a lot about the Holy Spirit, the 12 references to the Holy Spirit in this epistle. You know, the Bible's a great book. I mean, for example, greater is he that is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. You got that? So we should be able to overcome the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now let's come back to our little verse again, please. You'll notice, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, here's what I want you to know. I want to ask you, well, what power is this? What is this power? Can I tap into it? Is it available to me? Let's just take just a little quick journey, please. Turn in your Bible, for most of you have your Bible open. Turn to chapter 1. And we'll see a little bit about the power. Now chapter 1, please, of this epistle. Chapter 1 and verse number 19. Well, maybe, let's see, yeah. Yeah, verse 19, we'll start there. 1 and 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Toward us. That's interesting, isn't it? And look at how the verse 19 begins. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The world know. Unsaved people know nothing about this power. I knew nothing about it before I was saved. That's why I thought and told my former worldly companion, I'll be back with you in less than 2 weeks if what I've got is not God's salvation. But I didn't know about this power. Look at it again, please. 19 of chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Now, look, what power is it now? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Dear brother, dear sister, I want to say this to you. This power is a power that is toward you, not against you. It's the power that's to usward. It's toward you. How great is it? Do you know that the power that is toward you and to assist you in your spiritual warfare, do you know something? It's the very power that raised Christ from the dead. There's no need for failure. Oh, I'm not saying I don't fail, but it's because I don't tap in to the resources which God has made available to me. So chapter 1 and verse 19. Wow, it's mighty. It's the power that is toward us. Now come to chapter 3, please. I won't take too long of this. Chapter 3, please. And verse number 16. Chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse number 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Here we're back to this power again. Strengthened with might by his Spirit. You heard about the 12 references to the Spirit. Here's one of them. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now look please at verse number 20 of chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Just pause for a moment. Absorb that, please. Let it inside your cranium and think about it. I think it's marvelous language. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How is he going to do that? Look at the end of verse number 20. According to the power that worketh in us. So in chapter 1 and verse 19, this power is toward us. Now in chapter 3 and verse number 20, this is the power that's in us. This is the superior power to the power that's against us. Now, come over now with me, please, to where we started our reading in chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, beloved saints, you go back and read these verses again for yourself and ruminate upon them. Like the cow chewing its cud. Just think about them. And these resources, this power that's for you, it's toward you, it's in you. And then in this verse, I'm going to put it to you like this, so you want to stay with prepositions. If in chapter 1 and verse 19 it's the power that's toward you, in chapter 3 and verse 20 it's the power that's in you through the Holy Spirit, and now here it's the power that's for you. It's for you. And that's in verse number 10 of this chapter. Something else I want you to notice. Very interesting one. In verse 10. You see, we haven't really got down to the armor yet. We'll come to that in a moment, and I'll just go through a few thoughts of it fairly quickly. We don't have a lot of time. But I want you to know, these things that I'm mentioning to you now are vitally important in regard to us understanding how we can get the victory. Now, an essential thing, now I hope you'll agree with this, and it's in verse 10. Did you know the acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ is essential to getting the victory over the evil one? You see what it says in this verse? Be strong, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The Lord is mentioned 25 times in this letter. 18 of those references are in the practical section of the epistle, chapters 4, 5, and 6. And here it is, be strong in the Lord. Lordship is vitally important. I was reading recently, some of the books were publishing in Frederick A. Tatford. Those excellent little books in the Minor Prophets and so on. But I was reading a profile about the man. And do you know what he actually quoted someone? I couldn't forget this. I never heard it before. And it stayed with me. And it fits in with what I'm seeing here. Do you know what this brother said? If we are not prepared to accept Christ as Lord, let us not insult him by calling him our Savior. Will you think about that? Do you know why? For the Bible says he's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice he's Lord first. He's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're going to get the victory in spiritual things, we've got to own him as Lord. And that means his word is paramount. And I'm not superior to his word. Now let's move on quickly, please. Come to the next verse, number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm going to just pick up some points in this just for the sake of time, because we'll not be able to go into all the detail. But I want you to notice something here. It's called here the whole armor of God. Now, that's important. You know what that means? There's not an item missing. This is the complete armor. That's why I'm saying there's no need for failure. And the vital thing is, if you go down the items of armor, don't you think you can put on 75% of the armor and leave 25% aside? Because it's the bits that are missing where you could prove to be very vulnerable. It's the whole, you only get this expression one other place in your New Testament, and it's Luke 11 and 22, I think it is. Do you remember the strong man armed, and his house and everything's protected, but a stronger than him comes, and he takes away all his armor. He takes away his whole armor. And here God has made a great provision for us so that we don't fail. He's provided a complete armor for us. And let's just move on now. I want you to notice something else in these verses. There's three things about the armor that I want you to notice. The first thing is this. It's complete. You don't have to add anything to it. A bit like salvation, it's complete. Anyway, the whole armor of God, it's complete. Secondly, I want you to notice about it. It's the whole armor of God. In other words, God provided it. So every bit of this armor you didn't provide and I didn't provide it, it's complete as you would expect when God provides it. It's His provision. But then there's another side thing about the armor that's vitally important. So God, it's complete and God has provided it. But we have to put it on. That's our responsibility. What good is armor that is absolutely complete if it's sitting and you go out to face the foe without it? We need the whole armor of God. Now, there's something else that's very important in these verses. And it's this word to stand. Now, I just want you to come on a little journey with me and I'll show it to you. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. The idea is standing fast. You know what this is? This is preparatory to the conflict. This is readiness for the conflict. It hasn't just quite started yet. So you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. We've been hearing about this word able. You see, God's not going to suffer you above that you're tempted, you're above that you're able. Now here, that you might be able to stand. So God has made enough provision. Dear sister, whatever your trial is, God has made enough provision for you, listen to it, to be able to stand. The devil doesn't like that. This is you ready. Prepared for the onslaught that will inevitably come. Okay, let's look on this verb to stand. Now, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and so on. Now come down a little further. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here we have it again. Now we have an interesting expression. That you may be able to withstand. The conflict's now on. The conflict's now on. You're standing in verse 11 with the whole armor on and you're ready. You're prepared for the onslaught. Now when you come down to verse number 13, you're in the conflict. And what are you doing in the conflict? You're withstanding. You've got to do that. But if you're the whole armor of God, you can do it. And if you don't put on the armor, you're bound to fail. Now look again, please. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all. What does that mean? What do you mean, having done all? Here's what it means. It means having put on the whole armor of God. Standing and withstanding. And you've done all that. And what's the outcome of it? You're still on your feet spiritually. The devil hasn't put you down. You're still standing. You see, you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. In other words, you put on the whole armor of God. You've taken every item. You've got it on. The onslaught has taken place. And you know, when the devil's done his worst, you're still standing. That's the idea. Now, look at verse 14. The beginning of the verse, please. Stand, therefore. Isn't that interesting? You're standing at the end of verse 13. And now at the beginning of verse 14, you're still standing. You're still on your metaphorical feet. You haven't gone down. Now, beloved saints, that's a very vulnerable time. That's a very vulnerable time. There's always a danger when you get a victory that you rest on your laurels and you're off the guard. You see, that's why verse 14 comes in and says, stand therefore. One or two other things. I maybe shouldn't keep saying this, but I just can't go into all this detail. You know that because of the time. I want you to know something else, please. If you look at verse number 13 again, I would like to have dealt with a whole lot of the details in verse 12, but we don't have time to do that. Now look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's that? What is that? That's a particular day. Now, if you go, you needn't turn to, you go back, if you went back to chapter 5 and verse 16, you read these words, the days are evil. That's not what we have here. The days are evil, that's just the characteristic of the period. But this is a particular day of assault. And you're under assault, you're under attack. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here, and you've had trials, deep trials. You've been under attack. To you, it's been the evil day. Do you not think it very significant, beloved saints? Really, to me, it's really significant. What's the background here? Well, if you were to go back into chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. We're living a day when the marital situation is under attack, big time. There are beloved saints among us. I don't know about you folk here, but we have them back in Ireland. I can think of situations, maybe a beloved sister, a good sister, and she's under attack, and not saying necessarily physically, but within her own marriage. And maybe a brother, I can think of a brother back home. Both in assembly fellowship. It's not easy. Then you move a little bit further down and well, what do you come to? Well, it's very, very interesting. You come then to, well, the beginning of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're now looking into the home. Oh, Satan loves to attack not only marriage, he loves to attack the family and the home. And then he goes on, it's very, very interesting, you know, verse 4, for example, of chapter 6, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And he moves on to servants obeying them. These are Christian people, Christian children, and Christian fathers, and Christian servants, and Christian masters. You see, isn't it very interesting? Trade union organizations, they are all on for the employee. The bosses, they're all on for the bosses. But the Bible deals with both. Because each has responsibility. And Satan loves to get in and attack. You could be someone here today and you've lost your job. And you feel you didn't get a good deal. And Satan would get in. You just be very careful. Get the whole armor of God on. Now anyway, the evil day is a particular day. Job had it in the Old Testament. There was a day. Wow, what a day. 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and one messenger came after the other. It wasn't just a blow. It was a series of devastating blows, and he lost everything. I'm not fit to hold Job's coat. The man who rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. Worshipped, he lost everything, and said Satan was behind the attack. And incidentally, I love that verse, our brother Gordon Williams, you know, God will not suffer you to be tempted. About, you know, he only allowed Satan so much space. He wasn't handing Job over to Satan, not at all. Now let's come just one or two wee things about the armor here, please. Now, verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins. They say your loins is the very seat of your strength. Notice, please, your loins girt about with truth. Now, what is this? Well, first of all, it's like the girdle whereby you would, around your middle, to tie up loose ends and things whereby you may trip and so on. Could I put it to you? No, I'll not be overly dogmatic. You may say this is truthfulness. I don't think the primary idea is that. It's your loins girt about with the truth. Now, here's the question. Is this me holding the truth? Well, I ought to hold the truth. I think the primary idea here, and I love it, this is the truth holding me. The truth holding me. The truth will hold you, you know. Oh, you have to hold it as well. But it'll help you in the conflict. Your loins girt about with truth. And then we read on in this verse 14, having on or put on, literally, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what righteousness is this? well, all right, we have to be practically righteous in our lives, but I don't think that's the idea, and I'll tell you why. God provided this. Mr. Leckie, late Albert Leckie, in the series What the Bible Teaches, he did Ephesians, and he was pointing out that really he can't see that this is practical righteousness. Rather, it's imputed righteousness. It's the righteousness that God has given us. And you enjoy it, dear brother, and it'll protect you. And revel in the goodness. Here's the point. When you're under attack, revel in all that we are in Christ. And are standing in Christ. And that will help you to cope with the assault of the evil one. Look again, please. And your feet. This is a good one. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I do find this most interesting. Your feet shod with the preparation of the... What is this? Well, it's called the gospel of peace. What does it mean, your feet shod? Well, some people would say, well, this is... We have got a firm, secure standing. Well, that's okay. So we have. But you know what I think, to some extent, it maybe has in mind. Do you know, when you're under attack, you don't go backwards. You go forward. How beautiful, Romans 10 and 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. This is the believer under assault, and he's prepared for forward movement in the gospel. In other words, if I could put it to you this way, for the believer, attack nearly is the best means of defense. Ready. Your feet shod with the preparation. This is readiness to go. It's like 1 Peter 3:15, where Peter writes, sanctify, I'll give it to you literally, sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Be ready, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm happy to take more or less that view now of this particular scripture. There's one here I want to pick up. Now, I can't deal with them. I told you, our time's a bit gone. But I'll tell you what I do want you to notice, because I've thought quite a bit about it. And it says here, the helmet, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I'll finish with this one here because of the time. Taking the shield of faith. Whereby ye may be able, notice this ability things, that you may be able to withstand, now that you may be able to quench. God has given us provision to make us able. Now, notice this one, please. To me, it's very, very, very precious in verse 16. The shield of faith. That was a large oblong shield, a bit like a door. And that went in front of you. The shield, and I don't think the faith here is the body of doctrine. No, I think this is faith. You remember the Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired with the devil here to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And hence Peter then takes up his pen. The trial of your faith. I think it's personal faith. And would I tell you, dear sister, whoever you are here today, you've been going through a personal trial. And you know what you need to get the shield of faith up. Get the shield of faith up. Because the devil would get those fiery, that is combustibles, the inflamed heads to the darts. And if he could get that dart and get it into your heart and wound you. But get the shield of faith up. I often think of Joseph in this regard. What he said to his brethren way back at the end of the book of Genesis chapter 50. He said, God meant it for good. That was a shield of faith. The Lord in the trial and the storm, where is your faith? How is it you have no faith? Oh, ye of little faith. Beloved saints, I think the shield of faith is personal faith. So when the devil puts a fiery dart in saying, why did God allow that to happen to you? Get the shield of faith up. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation will make a way to escape. Get the shield of faith up. Faith, you see, when I think of Joseph, I think of Job, think of his wife. Oh, she said, curse God and die. It means renounce God and die. He said, you're just like one of the women. These is the ungodly woman, really. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil things? And with all, Job sinned not with his lips. He had the shield of faith up. Beloved child of God, get the shield. I could deal with these other things, but our time is gone. Get the shield of faith up. I want to leave that one with you. You get down on your knees at the side of your bed tonight before you slip under the covers. And ask God to help you to raise the shield of faith. God is not against you. He's for you. The devil's against you and these various powers, which I would love to have had time to deal with. But we leave that. Now, it's been a very hurried little consideration of some of the great points in these verses. May God bless his word to every heart with what we've already heard.